On Easter Sunday, the Church throughout the world celebrates the resurrection of Jesus. It's a day when we can at last get some relief from the thinking in recent days of the treachery of betrayal of those so close to Jesus, of religious leaders who disgrace their office, of the mindless antics of soldiers and the callous indifference to those who gawped at an innocent man being tortured and killed, of the rejection of the offer of God through the one who came to give what only he could give. We've saturated ourselves with the events leading up to and including Good Friday by hearing scripture recounted, by reading poems about the horror of the days and watching films which have shown us the scenes as close to reality as possible. And on Saturday, we have collapsed mentally, realizing man had finally done the ultimate act of wickedness, rejecting God's part in our lives, putting to death Jesus, who came to show us what God is like. Saturday's silence in the tomb gives us time to reflect. It was a world now without Jesus, this lovely, wonderful, beautiful example of God, who God knew was the only one who could take away the sin of man. And he's done that. And as I shared in my words on Good Friday, by doing that for us, Jesus paid the penalty of sin for us, separation from God. And we heard the haunting cry of Jesus from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yesterday, we breathed a sigh of relief as we once again managed to get through those emotional days. No wonder we have such a sense of relief as we come to today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, to know that Jesus is once again alive among us. And even in the isolation enforced on us by the coronavirus pandemic, we can hear the Church's resounding message, Christ the Lord is risen today. It's over. The sacrifice for our sin was paid at Calvary, a sacrifice that never again need be repeated. For us and all ages, we have a Saviour. But wait a moment, please. The Gospels tell us of Jesus being laid in the tomb, and they tell us of him being seen alive, but how he was resurrected, there is nothing about that actual moment until we get to Acts chapter 2, verse 24, when we read, still with such few words, but God raised him from the dead. It has ever been my belief that the moment Jesus raised from the dead was too sacred a moment for anyone to witness. It seems to me that that broken-hearted God I spoke about on Good Friday could have been so indifferent that he would have simply issued a word of command from heaven to rouse Jesus from death in a tomb on earth. No, no, no! This is his son, who he has seen beaten and bruised and horrifically crucified on a cross. I cannot imagine God not wanting to be there in person the moment he raised Jesus to life. Could anyone have witnessed such a scene as God held the lifeless body of his son? Ironically, the God who gave back life to Jesus is the God who said to Moses, "No one may see my face and live." The moment of resurrection was too sacred, too heart-rending, too personal for it to be turned into a worldwide film by Cecil B. DeMille. It was when God loved Jesus back to life, and I simply cannot imagine it happened by a word of command from heaven, no matter how powerful that could be. I think God knew that the one face Jesus would have wanted to see the moment he opened his eyes would have been the face of his Father. But let's pause just for a moment and allow us to receive what God is allowing us to consider. And I wonder if you will feel as I do in these holy ground moments. When Jesus died on the cross, he died with the sin of the world on him. We're told, he who had no sin, God made him to be sin for us. We know God doesn't view sin lightly, and we also know that sin changes us. It makes us unfit to be with God in his eternity. And if there was ever such a thing as degrees of sin, Jesus had so much on him that heaven was the last place he would ever be allowed to be. As God looked at him, he was still the Son who carried the sin of the world. But however magnificent the sight of one who made such a sacrifice for the world was, he was still defiled by sin. That's why he was in the tomb. Sin changes everyone. It separates us from God. When God opened the eyes of Jesus, Jesus knew he was in the tomb, covered by the sin of the world. And because sin is so destructive in the way it changes people, God needed to be there at the moment of giving life back to Jesus to ask him, "Do you want to come home, son?" In other words, the sin you have on you, which has resulted in you being here, shall I take that sin and throw it into the sea of my forgetfulness and restore our oneness and cleanse you of it all? You know, I often marvel that the resurrected Jesus didn't appear to the people who had wronged him so dreadfully. And I'm led to understand that God's cleansing of the paid penalty from Jesus meant he was once again one with his Father. The separation was ending. Therefore, Jesus was able to return to heaven, and before he returned, he was able to show God's love rather than exacting vengeance on those who had wronged him. Do you hear God saying to you, "Do you want to come home? The price of being separated from me has been paid. Let me resurrect you in my image, now that my Son has paid the penalty for your sin." What an offer from the tomb! Of course, because of the very nature of sin, we can allow the way it can change us to continue to separate us from God. But who could look at the broken body of Jesus and his heartbroken Father and say they are indifferent to what has been done for us? In the resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate today, our own cleansing from sin can be included in that celebration. Do we want to come home? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Patiently, Jesus is waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home.